Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something really useful for drum and bass, an immense style call and response bass riff, then moving it from session view into arrangement view so it behaves like a real drop idea instead of just a loop that never grows up. The whole point here is simple. One bass phrase speaks, the next phrase replies. That conversation is what gives D&B bass lines their shape, their attitude, and their forward motion. You do not need endless notes to make it work. In fact, the strongest versions usually feel tight, rude, and controlled. They leave space for the drums, especially the snare, to stay in charge. And that's the key thing to remember. In D&B, the drums are still the lead vocalist. The bass is the character, but the snare is the cue point. If your bass line is fighting the snare, it's probably too dense, too wide, or too loud in the wrong frequency range. So let's build it from the ground up. Start with the drum context first. Don't write the bass in a vacuum. Load up a simple D&B drum loop in session view, something with kick, snare, and if you want, an amen-style break or a break chop. Keep it sparse enough that the bass has room to breathe. If you already have a drum loop, duplicate it so you can compare the groove with and without bass. What do you want to hear here? The snare should still feel dominant. The kick should still punch when the bass comes in. And the ghost notes in the break should remain readable instead of getting swallowed by low-end mush. If the drums already sound full, trim them now. You're building a drop idea, not a solo bass demo. Now create your bass idea in session view. Make two MIDI clips and name them clearly. One for the call, one for the response. You can make them one bar each or two bars each, depending on how you like to think. For a beginner, keep it simple. Use only 2 to 4 notes in the first pass. The best starting point is a phrase that introduces a motif in the first bar, then answers it in the second bar with a lower note, a longer note, or a small rhythmic variation. Why this works in D&B is because the listener needs a shape they can latch onto while the drums keep moving. If you fill every 16th note, the phrase stops feeling like a hook and starts feeling like clutter. For the sub layer, keep it plain and disciplined. Use a clean stock instrument like operator or wavetable, and aim for a sine-style tone. Keep it mono if possible. Fast attack, short to medium release, minimal filtering, and conservative volume. You want the sub to feel like the floor under the track, not a second lead. What to listen for here is weight without blur. The notes should feel solid, but the kick still needs to punch through. The sub shouldn't wobble in volume every time the pitch changes. If it does, simplify. Once the sub is in place, add a second layer for the character. This is where the mid-bass does the expressive work. A simple Ableton chain like Wavetable into Saturator into Auto Filter works great. Our Operator into Overdrive into EQ8. Keep this layer higher than the sub and let it carry the personality. A good starting sound is something slightly square or serrated, with a little saturation and a dark filter. You can use a drive amount around 3 to 8 dB on Saturator, then keep the filter cut off somewhere in a low to mid range, depending on how dark you want it. If the bass gets muddy, clean up the 200 to 400 Hz area. If it gets too sharp, tame some of the 2 to 5 kHz region. The idea is separation by role. The sub gives you impact. The mid gives you attitude. That split is extremely useful in D&B because it lets you move the mids around without destroying the low-end foundation. Now write the actual call and response rhythm. Think in bar groups, not just in single notes. A really solid beginner pattern is this. The first bar makes a statement, then leaves space. The second bar replies with either a lower answer note or a slightly longer phrase, and then maybe a small pickup to lead back into the loop. You do not need to overcomplicate this. Often the strongest move is a rest. In D&B, silence can hit harder than extra notes. If the riff feels flat, the first thing to try is not more movement. Try a different note length. Try a rest. Try shifting one note up an octave or down an octave. What to listen for now is whether the first phrase creates expectation and the second phrase feels like a real reply. The response should not just copy the call. It should answer it. At this point you can decide what flavor you want. Do you want it more stabby and rude, like a jungle-leaning roller? Or do you want it darker and more sustained, with a heavier, more threatening feel? Both are valid. The stabby version has more gaps and a more percussive edge. The held version creates more tension and space. If you want a harder first drop, go with the stabs. If you want something ominous and spacious, let the response ring a little longer. Then add a little movement, but keep it controlled. A small filter sweep is often enough. You can open the call slightly and close the response slightly, or do the opposite. You can also move the wavetable position a little, but keep the motion subtle enough that the bass still reads as one idea. The goal is contrast, not chaos. This is where a lot of beginners go too far. More movement does not automatically mean more energy. In DNB, energy often comes from where the notes stop, how the second phrase answers the first, and how cleanly the low end leaves space for the break. So now loop the drums and bass together in session view and check the full groove. This is your reality check. Ask yourself, does the snare still cut through on 2 and 4? Does the bass leave room for the ghost notes in the break? Does the response phrase make the second half of the loop feel like a payoff? If the bass is too loud, don't just turn it down blindly. Listen for masking. The mid layer might be crowding the snare in the 200 to 800 Hz area. The sub might be too long and overlapping the next hit. If it feels weak instead, try a touch more saturation, a slightly shorter envelope, or a small boost in the upper bass character zone. What you're aiming for is a bass line that locks to the kick and snare, pushes energy in short phrases, and still leaves air for the drum groove to breathe. That's the sweet spot. Once the idea is working, commit it. You can keep the MIDI version, but this is a great moment to resample or bounce a version to audio if you want to lock the vibe and move faster. In DNB, printing a working bass idea can save you from endless tweaking. Keep a clean version saved too, so you can version things later. Clean, dirty, and more space versions are all useful. That way you're making decisions, not rebuilding from scratch every time. Now bring the session view performance into arrangement view. Arm arrangement recording and launch the clip so the idea lands into the timeline. Record at least 8 to 16 bars. That way you can hear how the riff behaves inside a section, not just as a loop. A simple arrangement shape could be a stripped intro, then a full drop with the call and response riff, then a small variation after 8 bars, and maybe a slightly more open second pass. The important thing is that the bass line develops over time. A good DNB drop needs shape, not just repetition, and you do not need a full rewrite to make it evolve. One small variation every 8 bars is usually enough. You can drop one response note for a bar, extend the last note before the loop resets, add a short octave jump, or open the filter slightly on the second pass. Keep the identity intact. You want recognition plus motion. That's another big DNB principle right there. The second pass should feel like the same idea with more confidence, not a brand new patch. A couple more practical reminders before you finish. Keep anything carrying the weight centered. Anything below roughly 120 Hz should stay mono and disciplined. Check the whole thing in mono often. If the bass sounds great in stereo but falls apart in mono, the club will expose it immediately. Also, be careful not to let the sub and mid layer do the same job. The sub should stay simple and stable. The mid should carry the grit, the movement, and the attitude. If both layers are trying to be the star, you'll get cloudy low end and a weaker riff. And one more thing that matters a lot, the best edits are often the smallest ones. One note, one rest, one octave shift, one filter move. If you keep changing everything at once, it becomes hard to hear what actually improved the phrase. So here's the recap. Start with the drums first, because the bass has to answer something. Build a simple mono sub that stays clean and stable. Add a mid layer for grit and movement. Write the riff as a conversation across bars, not as a constant stream of notes. Use session view to test the loop fast. Then record it into arrangement view so it becomes a real drop section with shape over time. If you do this well, the result should feel like a proper DNB bass conversation. The first bar asks, the second bar answers, and the snare still cuts through like it owns the room. Now it's your turn. Try the mini exercise or the homework challenge. Build a two-bar amen-style bass conversation. Keep the sub mono and simple. Make one short stab version and one held response version, and then record at least 8 bars into arrangement view. Keep it tight, keep it rude, and don't overcook it. If the riff feels strong when you mute the bass for a second, that usually means you've got something real.